If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. It should feel familiar to be back in Luke. We're really about to finish, even though it feels like, you know, we have quite a few more chapters, but you may kind of have forgotten we've been in Luke so long. We actually started Luke with the end of the book years ago. So if you're waiting for the end of the book, you know, we did things backwards. You're just going to have to go back and look at that online. We're not going to make you go through that one again. But today might be appropriate. If I seem a little discombobulated, we have a lot of things happening today in and amongst the service. It's hard to keep all of those things straight. And Pastor Nathan said this morning, well, that's okay. You're preaching about Zacchaeus. Just make it a wee little sermon too. And we're going to try not to have a wee little sermon. I think most of us know the story of Zacchaeus from the song, which I won't make you sing, but it basically said that Zacchaeus was a wee little man and he climbed in a sycamore tree. And the song kind of ends with the Lord Jesus say, you know, you come down because I'm going to your house today. And that is important, but that is not the purpose of this story exactly, is it? There's a little bit that the song leaves off that we learn in preschool. Maybe we need to go back and add a tag to it or something. But I think we need to understand what it's like when someone is really changed. You may know this story, and you may understand, of course, that when Jesus first met Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus would have been seen as quite the rascal. That's what he would have been thought of by everybody. But when Jesus met him, he was changed. And I think that's one of the questions that the world is asking us to answer is what difference does it really make if you know Christ? If a person meets Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what difference does it really make? Does it change an ethic that you have? Do you just take his teachings for what they are? What difference does it make in your life? There are many who believe in Jesus, but I think one of the great tragedies is when people believe in Jesus, but they fail to realize that when they meet Jesus, everything has to change. To believe in Jesus and not be changed by Jesus falls short of what Christ himself is going to say he came to do in this story. There's something that Jesus said he came to do. And for us to try to make Jesus something different than what he said he came to do doesn't work. So as we read this, I want you to keep that in mind. We're in Luke chapter 19. We're going to read the first 10 verses. He entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, or maybe your translation says the chief publican. Same thing. And he was rich, the scripture says. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain. He's gone to stay with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. When we find this, it's important to note that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's passing through Jericho, and Jericho would have been that last town that you would have stopped at on your way. Now, as he's going to Jerusalem, Jesus is going to be crucified there, and he knows that's going to happen. We've been reading that as we've been studying Luke. You may remember he's told the disciples, I first must go and suffer, right? That's what's about to happen. And as he gets to Jericho, we might remember Jericho, not just as a city where people would stop on their way to Jerusalem, but we would remember Jericho from the Old Testament, wouldn't we? Because it's the first town, really, that the nation of Israel, once they cross the Jordan, it's the first town, isn't it, that they come to, and what do? They march around it, and they shout, and the walls fall down. But it's interesting that inside Jericho, there was a lady, wasn't there, named Rahab. Do you remember Rahab? Rahab hid the spies that had come into to look around and scout out what they were going to do in Jericho. And you may remember about Rahab. She's an interesting person, isn't she? Because she is a person who is in a business that some have called the oldest business in the world. She's in the business of prostitution. But Rahab has heard the report of what God had done for his people and how everyone was falling by the wayside when they met them. And Rahab says to them, remember our family. Now, Rahab does something that anybody in the town could have done. They could have come out and said, hey, we repent, we're with you. They didn't. And Rahab curiously makes her way into the lineage of Christ, changed. Don't lose sight of that word this morning, changed. Something has to happen when you meet Christ. Now, it's interesting that in all these years later, Jesus is going to meet someone who is viewed, I mean, maybe not with the same disdain of a Rahab, but pretty close. If you understand the relationship between tax collectors and Jews, you understand why they don't like them, right? Because tax collectors work with the Romans. Tax collectors not only take taxes, but they can take whatever else they want. And so you're seen as aiding and abetting the enemy. And you're also seen as stealing from your own people. And the scripture gives us this kind of picture of Zacchaeus. He was a rich man. And not only is he a tax collector, but he's the chief tax collector. So he's basically running like a pyramid scheme where he sits at the top and he's enriching himself from everyone. As Jesus is traveling, this great crowd is beginning to follow him. And because the scripture says Zacchaeus was a shorter man, he runs on ahead, knowing the way in which Jesus is coming. Maybe it's right down Broadway, and he climbs up this sycamore tree so that he can see Jesus. He wants a glimpse of the Messiah. And I want you to notice two very important things this morning about this passage that Luke tells us that are important for us to understand as well. Because when we see this, I think it begins to change our relationship and what we think about Jesus. And the first thing is this, is that we are known. You're known. You know, there are places that you go and you're known. There are places that I go and people call me by different names. You know, some people call me Jeff. Some people, when I go to my children's school, they call me Mr. Mims. Some people, when I come in here, call me Pastor. When I go home, some people call me Dad. I mean, I'm known in different ways, but it's a great thing when you go and you know somebody, isn't it? In fact, it's quite one of the greatest insults when you feel like you know somebody and yet they don't know your name. Years ago, we had a neighbor that moved in behind us. And for the life of me, I believe the man's name was Scott for years. And one day he looked at me and he said, you know you have a lot of people at your church, but my name is Tyler. And I was like, yeah, you look like a Scott, you know? It was an insult, wasn't it? I mean, you know, like to not be known is offensive because this is somebody that had been in my backyard many of times. I mean, it'd probably been 6-8 months since he'd moved in, you know? I should have known his name. Never forget it now, you know? But we are known. Did you notice what happened when Jesus got to the place where Zacchaeus was in the tree? Look back at verse 5 and see what happens. It said, Jesus came to the place. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. It's pretty amazing that Jesus had never met Zacchaeus. We don't have any recording of that, or there's no recollection of that in the scripture, that Jesus somehow knew Zacchaeus, but he walks up to him and he calls him by name and says, you need to come down because I'm staying at your house. Now, Jesus is not psychic. He's not a magician. So how is it that he could possibly have known Zacchaeus? Well, it's that Jesus is bigger than all of those things. He's not a psychic. He's not a magician. He's God. Genesis tells us something amazing. Genesis tells us that when the earth was being created and God was ready to make man, that something incredible happened. The Lord God said, let us make man in our image. our image. Whose image? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's a funny thing that we believe in this Trinity that is never specifically mentioned. That word is never used really in the scripture, is it? But how do we know that? Let us make man in our image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's given to us right there in Genesis. And Jesus knows him. When Zacchaeus was created, he was there. When the world was created, he was there. And that's important for us to understand because we're serving a God. We're not serving an impersonal God who doesn't know us. We're not serving a God who we have to try to please in some kind of mystical way. We are known and he can be known. But importantly, we are fully known by him because he is intimately involved in our lives. It's important. I don't know who would have been more shocked, Zacchaeus or the crowd that was following him. Maybe the crowd would have expected Jesus to know someone from the local synagogue. You know, maybe there was a rabbi that was a really good person that Jesus should have known. Maybe he'd been there through Jericho a couple of times and he would have known those religious leaders, but he doesn't stop and call out anyone else by name. But what's so shocking is that he calls Zacchaeus and says, "You come down." I wonder what Zacchaeus thought. He knows me. Well, this can't be good. You know, there's some places you want to slide in and just kind of sit in the back and not be known. By the way, if you're trying that at Judson, it's really hard. We want to know you. Please don't do that. Be here and be with us. We want you to be known. You have a name, and I'll try to remember it and not call you Scott, unless your name's Scott. But you understand, to be known. Zacchaeus, he knows me, and everyone would have been astonished, but I want you to think about something that the author of the Psalms say. In Psalm 139, if you have your Bible, you can turn there, you'll see it on the screen. But Psalm 139 speaks to this, and it's really important that we understand this. When David says this, listen to what he says in verse 7. Where can I go to escape your spirit? What a great question. Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, won't work. There's light around me at night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day, and darkness and light are alike to you. He keeps going and says, it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I've been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless, and all my days are written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Listen to what he's saying. Before I was, he knew me. Before you were, he knew you. You are known. So much today about people talking about finding and living out your authentic self. Apart from God, that is impossible. If your authentic self deviates from the plan that God has for you, I mean, David says, every one of my days written in your book, it's known by you. If your authentic self differs from that, something is wrong. You are known by God. And to be known is important. Notice what he said. Before you were born, you were known. Everything was planned. And rather than trying to write our own story, maybe we should ask the author of our story what he intends for us. It's kind of funny because there are two reactions to what happens with Zacchaeus. You might notice it in verse 6. He quickly came down, and it said he welcomed him joyfully, welcoming Jesus joyfully. So Zacchaeus sees what the Lord has said, And he obeys immediately. Yep, sure. I mean, I guess I'd come out of a tree too if somebody walked up that I'd never known and said, Jeff, come down. I'm staying at your house today. This is interesting. Let's find out about this, right? So we understand maybe he's joyfully about that, but I think he was excited about being known that Jesus had called him by name in a town where he was hated and despised. Jesus looked at him, saw who he was, and invited him down so that they could be together. I mean, Jesus is kind of a popular guy right now. Crowds following him. It's never bad when somebody in the popular crowd says, come sit with me. Come eat with me. Come hang out. Like, it's not bad. Zacchaeus is joyful, but what did everybody else say? All who saw it began to complain, saying he has gone to stay with a sinful man. Do you ever wonder if Jesus didn't know he was sinful? Do you think Jesus was mistaken in that? Do you think Jesus didn't know the depths of his sin? If Jesus knew him before he was born, surely he knew what he was like after he was born. If he could call his name having never known him, surely he knew about the content of his character in his life. Jesus knew his name. He knew everything about him. And guys, that's really important for us to understand this morning. Because God has created us, because God has formed us, God knows everything. For those of us who are not in Christ this morning, you've never given your life to Christ, can I encourage you to stop running from the Lord? He knows you. He created you. He wants you to be with him. He wants to be in relationship with you. That's how it was meant to be. Don't try to run from him. For those of us who are in Christ, David's words in the Psalms speak loudly, don't they? Where can you go and hide from the Lord? I often think that hiding from the Lord is like what happens when you go downstairs and you work in our preschool ministry. You get a 2 and a 3-year-old and you say to them, everybody hide. Now, they could go hide behind the drum, but they don't do that, do they? They walk over here and they do like this and they cover their eyes. Isn't that what preschoolers do? They cover their eyes because it's like this. If you can't see me, I'm sorry. If I can't see you, then you can't see me. That's how they think, right? I'm hiding from you. That's what we do when we try to hide from the Lord. He's called us. He knows us. If we're in Christ, where can we go? What could we keep secret from the Lord? What could we hide from his presence? There's nothing that we can do. And you can run to the end of the road to try to get away from it, and you can't. Because as a believer, God gave you something. Do you remember what it is? His Holy Spirit is living in you. So unfortunately, you have a tag along everywhere you go. And so you can try to hide. You can try to make it to where you're keeping something secret from the Lord, but he's living in you. He's seen it all already. God isn't fooled by this. We are known, and that's a beautiful thing for us. But it's also maybe a little scary because there's nothing that we can hide from him. Jesus knew exactly who Zacchaeus was. He knows exactly who we are. And he comes to us and he calls us by name. And I want you to see what happens here because Jesus changed everything in this man's life. Not only are we known, but when we meet Jesus, it changes everything. Everything is different. The work of God happens from the inside out in our lives. God meets us at our worst. He understands who we are, and he challenges what that is and how we think, how we act, how we want to live, and he begins to change it. And that's exactly what happened in Zacchaeus' life. Look at verse 8. It said, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. Lord, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back 4 times as much. It's fascinating what happened. Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but maybe Luke left out the part where Jesus preached the sermon on stealing. I don't think there was one. Do you know why? Because Zacchaeus had met the authentic Jesus and it had changed him so much from the inside out, the heart change and the Holy Spirit living in him, he knew what it was. Now, but this is what you need to notice about this. Zacchaeus went above and beyond. He starts by saying, I'm going to give half of what I own to the poor. Very important. In Jewish culture, to take care of the poor, and Zacchaeus says, I'm going to be a leader in that. And then any person I've defrauded, and I love that he says it, he kind of gives himself a like, hey, Jesus is standing here. If there's anyone I've defrauded, yeah, you've defrauded a lot of people. You're the chief tax collector. You've been stealing from everybody, right? He's like, if there's anybody, here's what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to give back 4 times. Now, if you go into the law and you look at Leviticus, it doesn't say that you need to give back 4 times. In fact, what it actually says in Leviticus chapter 6 in verse 5 is that the person who has defrauded another person should pay the defrauded party back the cost plus 1/5. So for those of you good at math, Dave, check me on this. I worked on it, 20%. Praise the Lord. Got one right today, you know? We are winning, you know? It's one of those things, 20% right there. So he's saying, I'm gonna give back 4 times what I took, not just 20% more than what I took, 4 times what I took. I'm gonna show you that I have changed. And this gets to the heart of what happens. Jesus lets him come and he invites him and says, I'm going to stay with you. We're going to be together. But he doesn't leave him the same. Zacchaeus didn't leave being a crooked tax collector that day. He had been a thief. Now he's generous. You see the difference? When Jesus meets you, you don't get to stay the way you are. Everything changes. It's a mistake to believe that we come to Jesus and he doesn't want to meddle with our lives. He wants to ruin your life because your life is a mess and he wants to give you the best life you could ever have. And you can't see that without the ruination of the things that you love. It has to be that way. There's no way that we can carry the old with us. It must be crucified. In Zacchaeus' life, that meant that the way he thought about money had to change. No doubt he had loved being a rich man. No doubt he had enjoyed the spoils of those things. No doubt he had enjoyed sitting on the top of the mountain, so to speak. But now he's a person who's concerned with the poor. Now he's a person who's concerned with not only doing righteousness, but doing righteousness in a way so that everybody knows. I didn't just meet the minimum here. But I'm giving back in a way that makes a difference. Faith in Christ requires repentance. What did we talk about all the time? Change of direction. Change from thinking this way to this way. Change of living this way to living this way. It's a total change. I think what's often lost, though, is that we think repentance is the cessation of something. But that doesn't really finish it out, does it? Because just to stop stealing might just mean I have that one part under control. But I stopped stealing and now it's replaced with something, right? It stops with how I think about something and it's replaced with something. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave a void there. The Holy Spirit puts something back. It's like what we talk about, the change of direction. So if a person is struggling, let's just say, for instance, with pornography, it's not just the cessation of pornography. It's a total change in a thinking about how we think about other people. It's what Philippians 4 tells us to think about what's pure and noble and just and righteous. It's not just leaving a void there. It's the input of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives so that everything begins to change. We often talk about it like this. I get a new heart. The wicked heart doesn't just die, but I get a new heart. Everything changes. The person who was angry becomes loving and patient. The person who was stealing starts giving, right? You begin to see the difference there. And you know, you might this morning be saying of yourself, I'm too far away for that. I could never do that. How could I stop this thing, this sin, this thing that I'm addicted to? Well, you probably can't. That's the truth. But there's nothing that our God can't do. There is no sin for which he is not able to give us the power to resist, the scripture says, to overcome. I mean, we don't do that on our own. It's not like we figure it out. He has done the work. And so you might be saying today, there's no way he could love me. You don't know how bad people thought Zacchaeus was. You know, the Lord did something amazing. It's not just that he called him and said, hey, come and stay. I mean, come down. He said, I want to stay with you. That's what riled everybody up. Jesus went into his home and he hung out. He made himself at home. And Zacchaeus welcomed him joyfully. And that's the thing. When Jesus comes and you welcome him joyfully, it begins to change. And I want you to notice how Jesus described that. Jesus said something about Zacchaeus that's really important. Salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. He's saying to everybody, see, they thought this guy was a Jew who had stabbed us in the back, and there's no way he's not part of what we're doing. And Jesus says, no, he's a son of Abraham. He's a true son of Abraham. This guy too, he also is a son of Abraham, a real believer. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus had this interesting encounter. And the Pharisees say, we've never been under the yoke of anyone. Total lie, because they're under the Roman yoke now and they have no rights whatsoever. And they say, we are the sons of Abraham. And he's like, you're not the true sons of Abraham. The true sons of Abraham do what? They hear and obey. It changes everything. Now this morning, you can think a lot about Jesus. There's a lot of things people say about him. But there's one writer who noticed something I've never noticed about this passage. Jesus gives us his whole purpose in the last verse. And they're all single syllable words. It's easy. You don't need a degree for this. You don't have to study for years and years and years to understand it. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. That was the purpose. Why did he come? To seek and save the lost. You, me, to seek and save the lost. Can I ask you a question this morning? He knows your name, but do you know him? Has there ever been a time in your life where you welcomed him into your life like Zacchaeus did? Where you joyfully said, Lord, yes, I get it. You have all of me. And that relationship changed everything. Or are you still trying to find your authentic self, however you feel like that might be? You've been known, loved, formed, put together by a God who created you on purpose to be in relationship with him. And he knows you. There's nowhere you can run to escape him. You can try, but you won't make it far. Believers, because he knows your name and you have this great tag along called the Holy Spirit, if there's anything in your life that you're really trying to think you're getting away with this morning, some area of your life you're holding back, will not work. You can't go anywhere and run from him. And the beautiful thing is that even when we run, the Lord just pursues us. He comes to us again and again. He says, hey, I know you. Come back. Come over here. And for us this morning to know that Jesus changes everything, well, it's a great thing for us. And just to remember that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I'm glad he found me. I'm glad he found many of you. And the good news is today, if you'll welcome him, he will come and stay with you. How do you do that? The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross in our place because we had a judgment against us. Tough word. Nobody likes it, but it is the reality. There was a judgment levied against us by God Almighty himself that condemned us to an eternity separated from God forever. And the only way that we could get out of that judgment is for Jesus to die in our place. See, if we die in our sin, we receive the judgment that is ours. But if Christ dies in our place, and we place our faith in him and repent of our sins, trusting him for the forgiveness of our sins, the scripture says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you done that? Have you given your life to Christ? Well, Zacchaeus did. And the change was evident to everyone. Now, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And he did climb a tree. And Jesus did say, come down. But Jesus changed his life. I remember the day that I met the Lord. Do you? I've remembered the days as I thought about this sermon where I've run from the Lord since then and thought I could hide, only to find that everywhere I went, he was already waiting for me. I thank the Lord that he has known us and he changes everything. I'm going to ask, as I begin our time of prayer, we're going to use this as an invitation. Would you bow your heads? I'm going to ask our deacons if they would go ahead and make their way to the front. Father, in this moment, I just believe that there's somebody here who needs to know that you know their name. Father, they may have felt overlooked. They may be ashamed of something. They may feel like they're hiding something having to be here this morning, but Father, you know their name. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you have written every day of our lives in your book. And Father, that when we meet you, it changes everything. And Father, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you, our prayer today is that they would place their faith in Christ. Father, for a believer, maybe who's been running, only this morning to remember that the Holy Spirit's been with them all along. Father, would you restore them? We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness and how it ministers to us. And Father, as we think about what it means to be known by you, to be loved by you, to be changed by you, we recognize that that's only through Christ and that he came to seek and to save the lost. And we thank you that he is doing that even still today. For those of us in Christ, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. And we praise your precious name. In Jesus' name, amen.